just for a moment before you go sit down, that was one of John's songs. He wrote that. Yeah. And Brian, thank you for making that sound so magical. Yes, yes. That is just amazing. So, John, I was wondering if you would just quickly, briefly, maybe state the reason you brought that song, what that song means to you.
All right. So, well, just real quick, I'll make this. After about, a year and a half now of wars on social media with people who claim to care and be loving and caring and kind and so on, and who to your face would be very smiling and very friendly and shake your hand and give you a hug and all that. And then they go home and they become this alter ego behind a computer. And it's okay to talk to people. It's okay to scream at people. It's okay to say anything you want and be this vile personality because you're behind a computer screen or because you are on your phone texting to people or on Facebook or whatever. And so I thought, well, you know, we all say that we want this peaceful world. And we all don't really know what that means. So we all want a peaceful world, and we all want, and I thought, my God, I'm doing it too. And I thought, you know, I want a world that is exactly the way I want it. And if everybody could just do it my way, we'd all get along. And that, I think, is the basis. As simplistic as that sounds, I really think it's the basis for all of this. And if we can all just maybe realize that my path is not your path, my way is not your way, but we can all be together and we can all live together and we can all exist together and we can share intelligent ideas and have intelligent conversation without beating the crap out of each other. I thought that would be wonderful.
Thanks, John. He's got a million of them. So, there was this big storm. Ship was on the ocean, being bashed around, thunder, lightning, big hole in the ship. Ship is going down. There's two mateys left on the boat. They swim their way to shore, and it is a desert island. One man sits underneath a palm tree, kind of kicked back, listening to the sounds and smelling the salt air. Beautiful waves. The other man's running up and down the beach, pulling his hair out, screaming, "We're gonna die, we're gonna die." The other man doesn't pay any attention to him. He's in his zen zone. So the crazy man goes over to him and he says, "We're gonna die. What's the matter with you?" And he looked up to him and said, "Well, I make $100,000 a week." "We're gonna die. Who cares if you make $100,000 a week? Why aren't you worried?" "Well, I make $100,000 a week. I tithe 10%. My minister's gonna find me." Okay, so the last time I was here, up here, we discussed getting along with people. We discussed meeting people where they're at. Because like John was saying, you know, there was a point in time where there were people were all on this side. Well, actually, it's still that way. And there's a lot of people on this side. But everybody wants peace or love or balance or harmony. But everybody's screaming they've got to do it their way. We all have our own roads to get to where we want to go. We all have our own path to get back home to spirit. So it's a matter of respecting other people and meeting other people where they're at. Today we're talking about kindness. And right now I'm not seeing a lot of it in the country. I'm not seeing a lot of people coming together and loving. Although it is through sometimes these difficulties or these upsets that it tends to bring us together, that tends to allow us to turn to the light. And remember, We are not that light that comes into us. We're already that light. It is merely just a recognition of us being in that light. So I went to my metaphysical Bible dictionary, and I couldn't find the word kindness. So I went to Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology and looked up kindness. He said, kindness is an attribute of God and quality desirable, but not consistently found in humans. What do you guys think? Yeah. I find that kindness is how love behaves, right? So, I'm kind. That feels good, doesn't it? Love feels good. Kindness is what you do with the love. I used to tell my daughter she was having boy problems. If it doesn't feel like love, it's not. Then what do you do with it? It's always opportunity for us to learn lessons, to move away from what doesn't serve us, to let that fall away, to pick up what does. I've talked before about the spiritual pinball machine. You know, God will tell you when you may not be on the best path for yourself because it doesn't feel good. God feels good. Love feels good. When you wake up in the morning, you know you're on a roll and this is the day. What is super lot? What is that tonight? Mega Millions, Powerball, we're like up at $8 million, right? So you win that, you know you're on the right path. So very often we look outwards to be kind. I'm going to be kind to you, and I'm going to be kind to you, and I'm going to be kind to you. Do you think that you can be kind to other people if you're not being kind to yourself? Well, we can act like it. Is that being true to ourselves? Is it being authentic to ourselves? True story. Back in the day, in my other life, I spent a lot of time trying to make other people happy so they would love me. Think about that for a moment. I spent a lot of time making other people happy or giving it my best shot to make other people love me. Selfish. Naughty, naughty, naughty. We can't make other people do things. This is when we meet other people where they're at. I couldn't make somebody love me. I couldn't make somebody like me. Love is automatic. It's there. We do beautiful and generous things because of who we are, because we love to do them. But if somebody is not treating you right, and you're trying with all your gusto to make them love you, leave, right? Just go away, because it's not going to happen. And it is the most hurtful thing when you try and do that and you're still not receiving the love and you're getting more angry and more frustrated because you're trying to make something happen. You must be kind to yourself first. This is why we meditate. This is why we turn to spirit. This is why we have quiet time. When somebody calls me for prayer work, I have to clear myself first. The practitioner has to clear herself or himself first. Right? We have to make sure that we are coming from a place of wholeness. If you're calling about dis-ease or dysfunction, if you're calling about frustration, or you're calling about loneliness or lack or limitation, the practitioner must first know their divine perfection already. Because no matter what's showing up around you, at the center of all things is that perfection. And that's where the practitioner must come from. Okay? When you work with yourself, when you go to quiet time, You must come from that place of love and love you first. Respect you first. And it makes it so much easier to reach out to others and love them also. Otherwise, it's ingenuine. I think that's a word. Yes. Many times, it is easier for us to pray for someone else. Is that true? Because we want someone else to feel better. We put ourselves last. If someone calls a practitioner, for me, for example, if someone calls me and I'm having a really crummy day, and I'm feeling a little pouty and I'm not feeling very nice or polite, but one of you calls me, I love you. So I'm going to pray for you. So I'm forced to clear myself first so I can pray for you because I don't want you guys to get my junk, right? So remember that. Yourself first so that you can give, so that you can be that something that somebody else may need. John and I had the opportunity a week ago Friday night to go see Gary Zukav. And for those of you who don't know him, he wrote Seed of the Soul, and his new one is Soul to the Soul. This was part of our curriculum in practitioner training 15 years ago. And he talked about courage, the courage to be kind, the courage to make changes in your life. So when we know that we're not going to smoke anymore, we're going to put down that smoke, we're not going to take that next drink. You know, he stood up in front of all of us, wonderful man, and he just let it rip. I really respect the people that say, man, I've walked the walk. I've had a hard time. He got up, he said, you know, I was a sex addict. I had issues with drugs, and I was a real jerk. I was mean to everybody, and I hung around with people that were the same way. So he had to take a lot of courage to make changes in his life. When things get difficult and things get upsetting in our lives and we think that there is no way that changes can happen, think again. Disease, dysfunction, anger, sex addiction, what else? Cigarettes, alcohol, or just being mean, or anything that holds you down. That holds you down. You can change it. You can make changes happen. But that's where he talked about the courage, having the courage to do that. For him to stand up there, he said that he wrote the Woolly Masters. What was the name of that book? Somebody knows. Okay. Anyway, so he he wrote that book, and at the beginning, it just started downloading. And he said he went about 6 days into that book. And then all of a sudden, the old habits would start to come back again for about 6 days. And then he'd go into another 6 days and write this book. And pretty soon, the goodness outweighed the negativity. Where is your focus? Where are you focusing? So on his book, Soul to Soul, he wrote this. Over 20 years ago, I shifted from a meat and frozen food diet to an all-vegetarian diet because I was copying a friend who ate more consciously than I did. It didn't feel good or satisfying, and it didn't last long. Now at home, Linda and I eat mostly organic vegetables, organic fruit, organic chicken, and fish. We do the best we can when we travel. However, food is not the only thing that you eat. When you think of a healthy diet, consider your thoughts also. What vibrational level are they? Are you judging your neighbors or coworkers? Are you working hard to win something someone else wants, such as a trophy or a stock option, to make you feel superior to others? These thoughts are toxins. How many are you eating? Are you content? That is a high vibrational state, and so are the thoughts that accompany contentment. Ooh. Are you filled with meaning and purpose? That is a very high vibrational state. Do you feel love for everyone around you? That is the highest vibrational state. Everyone. Everyone. No matter what situation or circumstance is looking like, no matter what they're doing, when I stand up here and say the God in me is the same God in you, that goes for everyone. No matter what they are showing up like, no matter what their personality is doing, at the very center of them is that divine creator. What they are choosing to do with it is up to them. As you begin to lighten your energy by challenging your anger, fear, jealousy, and anxieties, you will naturally become attracted to food that is lighter also. As this happens, treat yourself kindly, because kindness is healthy too. So when we think angry thoughts, when we think that we're mad, when we're thinking shame on them, when they're thinking you're thinking shame on me, where's your energy level going? Is it light and airy, or is it heavy and dense? And what direction are you going to be going in? What things are going to be showing up at your door? What are your opportunities? Are they going to be love and companionship and prosperity and all things good, great, whole, and complete? What we focus on expands. What we focus on expands. Okay, Emily Cady. Old book. I never knew I had it. Perusing my bookshelves the other day. So Emily tells us that we all can learn how to turn the conscious mind toward universal mind or spirit within us. We can, by practice, learn how to make this everyday, topsy-turvy, carnal mind be still. Actually, stop thinking. And let the mind, which is God, all wisdom, all love, think in us and out through us. We're a choice, once again. Kindness begins with us. It's not necessarily what happens to those outside. It starts inside. When they say, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, it does. It starts with you. And who's it going to benefit? It's going to benefit you. It's going to benefit you because it starts with you and because you're holding the light. And that's what you're going to start to attract. Be that magnet for kindness. Be that magnet for love. So why on earth would you ever allow an opinion of someone else about you sway you? I don't know about you, but sometimes we let other people's opinions of us get in the way. And then we begin to beat ourselves up. Been there, done that. And it still happens. And I have to remember to bring myself back to center. Why would we let someone else's opinion of us do that? You start to practice your truth. You start to practice the kindness towards yourself, allowing yourself to be at that very center of God's loving essence, and that is what you are. So other people's opinions, don't do that anymore. I mean, unless you really like the way it feels. Yeah, not so much. So I'd like to share a meditation with you from Dr. Stuart Grayson's book, Spiritual Healing. So you guys up for meditation? All right. So for those of you whose eyes are still closed, just keep them there. And everybody else, let's close our eyes. Let's go to that centered place, that place of the Most High that I talked about before, the center of your being. Breathe, follow the breath down to your solar plexus. Allow yourself to focus there. Breathe. Everything else falls away. It'll be outside when we're done. Knowing that this time of study has been a firmament within me, a yeast of ideas working through my consciousness. It is now multiplying through me as new ideas happening. They bring me to new experiences because of a new experience of consciousness. I am a new being and a new person. I am renewed and energized in every department of my being. I experience the infinite substance as a continuing supply of good in my experience. I understand that the principle of life backs me up in all of my endeavors. I have a new sense of self, a new sense of supply, and I rejoice in a new self-acceptance. I acknowledge the standards of the infinite principle of life, affirm my union with them, and see how they motivate me and express through my personal plans. Each day, I see this divine presence of the good life moving through me. My mind and my world are transformed. I accept myself as a new being, filled with the bounty and the beauty of nature. I am grateful to life for the wonderful ability to enter into the divine affluence. And I know that all of it is a beneficence of the higher power. Namaste.